This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Our next guest is the author of The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. You can find it on Amazon or wherever you get your books. He is the host of All Systems Go, which is a podcast where you can find wherever you get your podcasts. And by the way, All Systems Go is just that for the football season. Josh Applebaum is a VSiN betting analyst, and you can find him on Twitter at Josh_insights. Josh, a man that dominates the fall, is back. How are we feeling today?
We're feeling great, Patrick. Dustin, great to be with you. And I'm not abandoning iced coffee. I'm a New Englander. Still going dunks like iced coffee to the bitter end, Patrick. But I'm super excited because football season is finally here. And I want to talk to you guys about kind of my favorite system matches for week one in particular. Now, I think it's important here to kind of get a blueprint of how you're going to attack the NFL season. And then we'll talk about system matches. I got a bunch of dogs that are kind of lighting up the board right now with some good value. And then a couple favorites if you want to fade some trendy dogs. So let's start off with just kind of a way to attack NFL in general, and especially week one. NFL is the most heavily bet sport by far. If anyone's starting new in betting, they're probably going to go to the NFL. The highest ticket counts, highest handles. We have more states legalizing, up to nearly 40 states overall. So it's a huge public sport. So therefore, just taking a basic contrarian angle can really pay off. So that's when you're using our VSiN.com bet splits coming directly from DraftKings, looking at that spread percentage column. Anything less than 50%, less than 40%, those are the games that I get excited about. But here's where it gets good, Patrick. In the thought process of going contrarian, you got to remember, public loves favorites. If they're going to bet a game, they're going to risk their money on a team that they think is the safer play, the team that's expected to win. But the beauty of football, we don't care about who wins. We only care about who covers. So dogs are something I lean on all year round, but in particular, week one. Dogs, since 2016, big sample size, throughout the regular season, they're 1,056 and 987 against the spread. That's 52% ATS, Patrick, so it's pretty much break even. But here's the crazy stat. In week one dogs since 2016, 71 and 53 against the spread, 57%. So Just by going contrarian and taking dogs in week one, we see them bark 5% louder in their opening game versus the rest of the regular season. Now, if you want to take it a step further, I like layering on more filters. So here's where it gets even better. Just isolating road dogs in week one, because public loves betting favorites, loves betting home teams. Week one road dogs, 46 and 29 against the spread, 61% in week one since 2016. Divisional dogs, Patrick, two teams from the same division in week one, take the dog, 30 and 14 ATS, 68% against the spread. And then also buying low on dogs who didn't make the playoffs last year because the public remembers them as being a bad team. There's no way I can bet on them. But week one dogs who missed the playoffs the previous year, nearly 60% against the spread. So that's our starting point. Dogs, week one dogs, road dogs, dogs who missed the postseason, divisional dogs.
I mean, that is just a... It's not just the information. Even Dustin was shaking his head. Yes, that layout. And I haven't heard that on the network at all. I'm not disparaging anybody, but just it's very important to come in with, I guess I would say it's, you know, a system. And that's what you base your betting on, systems and the market. And it's just when you have the outline of a system, then you can start to parse out the individual games. So tremendous job and tremendous with the week one discrepancy as compared to from 16 to now dogs in total. So let's talk about some of those. We'll go with the Panthers. We had our buddy Mike Randall on yesterday. He likes Carolina on the money line in New Orleans. You get the 4, which is a good number here.
Yeah, so I'm with him. I don't know if I'm bold enough to go money line here, but I'll take the points because you mentioned it, Patrick. I think a lot of bettors, when you get to week one, they immediately go to just the teams they want to bet on versus kind of this process, which is, hey, let's identify our system matches and then let's see which teams fit that criteria. So the Panthers are really kind of your number one system match this week. Now look at number one, the system matches that they are popping right now. Number one would be a road dog. Those road dogs, 61% against the spread week one. The kicker, the one we love, divisional dogs. Both teams here from the same division, 68% against the spread week one since 2016. But then I don't just blindly play systems, Patrick. I want to at least look at the market and then stay true to my, you know, sharp reverse line moves, going contrarian. And that's where I like even Carolina even more here, because if you look at the betting market, public's on the Saints. Saints are getting upwards of 60% of spread bets, yet the Saints open -5. They're down to -4. So if majority of public bettors, nearly 2/3, are going with the Saints, why is the line falling away from New Orleans toward Carolina? It tells me Carolina's getting smart money here. Another thing I love about this one is a bet versus dollar discrepancy. Panthers only getting around 40% of bets, but 80% of spread dollars, Patrick and Dustin. That is a huge low bets, higher dollars discrepancy. You would have loved to gotten a 4 here. You can wait it out. Maybe there's buyback, or sorry, to 4.5 with the hook. I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe it even gets down to 3.5. But really, to me, if you're playing systems, playing the market, Carolina, you got to like them this week +4.
If this keeps up, Applebaum's going to hit for the cycle in this segment. Let's keep it going. So Vegas at the Chargers, you're catching 3 with Vegas. Now, when the Minshew news was announced, it did briefly touch 4. Back down, buyback on the Raiders down to 3.5. And now it's pretty much 3. I'm going to see if I can find a 3.5, Josh. Maybe you can. Nope, 3 across the board in the market with the Chargers laying it, hosting the Raiders.
Yes, this would be a play you mentioned, Patrick, to root for the Raiders in this spot. Have some line movement toward, not going to call them Oakland, Vegas now, obviously, but you mentioned it. They were as high as +4, +3.5. Now they're down to 3. Now you raised a good point. Always think about getting hooks, key numbers, on or off. I'm seeing a couple books that are juiced up toward LA, -3 at -115. So if you wait it out, you may be able to find the hook. And remember, we have Harbaugh, we have Herbert, you know, kind of a flashy team that's the public's kind of rooting for. I think Vegas maybe lost their sparkle a little bit. But this would be a chance to go the other way with the Raiders, because nearly 2/3 of bets, again, are going with the Chargers in this spot. Yet we've seen this line move toward the Las Vegas Raiders, and they would match road dog, divisional dog, dog who missed the postseason the previous year. So again, and I think this is another question, like we're talking on a Wednesday, you want to identify your system matches, then ask yourself, should I bet it now because I'm getting the best of it, or should I wait, try to get a better number? This is one where I've identified, and we've identified the Raiders, but let's see if we can get that 3.5. If we can get it, I'll take the hook there with Vegas.
Tremendous, Josh. Let's keep it going. I don't see your beloved New England Patriots as a dog this week, which is okay. Well, I'm good with it. Let's take the Colts here. And you've got the Colts. What's your number right now on the Colts?
Yeah, so if you're looking at the Colts, I mean, this is number one, your number one bet against the public play. You're getting 2.5, getting even 3 now. And this isn't really a sharp bet. Like when I'm betting NFL, I want to, you know, first be contrarian against the public, against the drunk guys at the bar, but have some element of smart money. This would just be a pure contrarian play taking the Colts, because as of right now, 83% of spread bets are going Texans. But remember, this game opened a lot lower. I think it was like -2, you know, closer to like -1.5 even at the opener. So this would be one of those inflated lines. So buying low on the Colts at +3, you know, if you're at a 2.5 right now, let's start thinking about teasers again, 2.5 up to 8.5. That could make a lot of sense. But this is your number one contrarian play. Only 17% of spread bets are taking the Colts here, but they would match with a divisional dog as well as a kind of just a straight up contrarian bet against the public play. So tease them up, wait for a 3. But it's either Colts or nothing for me in that one.
And if you don't have multiple outs and you've got Indianapolis catching 2.5, what's Josh saying? He's going to tease them up. He's going to go through 3, key number. He's going to go through 6, key number. And he's going to go through 7, key number. Good job by Josh there. Titans, this is one the big guy likes as well. You're catching 4 at the Bears.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm with Dustin in this one, because Titans to me are popping as well. We've seen line movement toward Tennessee. This game opened Chicago, you know, as high as -5, -4.5. It's now down to 4, even though currently you're getting upwards of 62% of bets here going with the Bears. Also keep an eye on like public perception over the summer, because Bears are on the rise. I do like their over 8.5 win total, but Caleb Williams, Adunze, Keenan Allen, they're on Hard Knocks. Public's going to kind of, you know, apply that bias into their handicap and say, hey, I'll take Bears at home all day. But the line's going away from Chicago toward Tennessee. Tennessee would match that road dog system match, dog who missed the postseason system match. I don't know if you're going to be able to get Tennessee 4.5 anymore, Patrick. In fact, I see a couple books. You're looking at the board right now where it may even get down to 3.5 because it's juiced up toward Tennessee. So again, I'd be looking at grabbing the points with the Titans here.
Okay, and then we have one more dog. For Josh's favorites, I'm going to encourage you to go over to VSiN.com, listen to All Systems Go, which is the pod. You got the Commanders. I'm high on the Commanders this year. They are, let me just find Washington here on my board to get the number. Josh, what do you have as far as your Commander number?
Pretty much key number of three. There's some 3.5s out there. Yeah, if you can find the hook, I mean, that's going to be the play here. And again, pay attention to the juice. I think a lot of bettors just say, oh, that's the price I got to pay. I'd rather something, obviously, like a plus 100 over a minus 120. But use the juice to your advantage. There's no choice. We got to pay it. But at least think about which side's being juiced up. That's going to tell you which side the next line move might go towards. So the fact that we have Commanders really juiced up with the hook 3.5 minus 120 tells us it could be getting down to 3. Remember, this thing opened like 4, and the line's going toward the Commanders, even though the Bucks are the public play, getting around 61% of spread bets. Now, I don't love backing rookie QBs, Jaden Daniels, in this spot. But again, if you're going to go contrarian, if you're going to take an approach here to back dogs, week one is your best time to do it. And if we can basically combine our system matches with what the market's telling us, that's when I get excited and have a little confidence here. So really, Washington, to me, is on my radar here getting the hook.
Now, there is a rumor that, you know, it's going to be a long year for the Patriots. We're not breaking any news there. There is a rumor that you and your squad could be showing up to Gillette this year with paper bags over your dome piece. Can we confirm?
Yeah, Pat, you can confirm that. Me and my buddies in the group chat have talked about it. I mean, I am holding an under 4.5 win total on the Patriots. I just love the destruction and thought process of what if the Patriots beat the Bengals this weekend, because that's your number one survivor pick. Everyone's playing the Bengals. I actually would enjoy that. I think it'd be hilarious if the Pats won that game. But yeah, Robert Kraft might, you know, tell us to, you know, take the paper bags off and go home. We might get arrested. But if it gets that bad, I think we're going to get very cheap seats and we're going to wear paper bags for Patriots fans this year.
Well, as Dustin would say, if you get in trouble, you can always massage your way out of it. You know what I mean? All exactly. Systems Go is the podcast. VSiN betting analyst. You can read them over at VSiN.com. Josh Applebaum, you're the best, Josh. Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Rookie quarterbacks next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to have a special segment or two with Mike Somich, who is just double dutying today and helping the network all across the board. So Somich joining us in about 15 minutes. Always look forward to talking to Somich. He is Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. I want to get into maybe some disparaging Caleb Williams, you can do it, Patrick, numbers in week one after being drafted number one overall since the merger. We have some pretty alarming numbers going into that Titans matchup coming up this weekend in Chicago. Obviously, a lot of hype for the Bears. Josh was tremendous. If you missed the segment and you're just joining us and you want an overview as far as week one and what to do as far as faves and dogs, he just really laid it out perfectly, which can create a bit of a system, a bubble around your picks this weekend. So make sure to go check that out over at VSiN.com. He did bring up one thing that I think is controversial to some. For me, it just simply isn't. I could be living in Antarctica or Iceland. I would imagine it's cold in Iceland. And if I went to the coffee shop, I'm getting an iced coffee. Why would anybody drink hot coffee when iced is available? Your thoughts?
Well, the whole point of coffee, right, is to get it in your system to affect your brain and open things up. One, it makes you a better person. Two, it makes you a more efficient person. Three, it makes you a, I don't know what else I was going for here. You have to work in threes. I only had two there. But those two are pretty important. Better person, more efficient person, harder working. When I have coffee, I just need it in my body. Ice helps it get there quicker. I'm not waiting for it to cool off.
And good for somebody like you that's on heart medication. Good for the ticker, too, all that caffeine.
Well, it's about balance. Don't want the heart medicine to make me too low, so this has to bring you back up. They battle each other. It's a cool in-between feeling you get.
No, you always have the health and wellness answers, and I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hey, Dustin, thank you. We've been discussing. Are you literally mad at me?
No.
You've just been so testy lately. I literally can't tell.
I am Googling.
Like yesterday with the Staples thing, if you didn't look so up to Staples because you consider them to be a big deal, you would have been mad. But because you do look up to them, you pretended not to be mad. If it were me that said what he said and nitpicked you yesterday, it would have been an issue.
Look, the reason why I looked directly back down at my computer is because I had to put something together because I have to put closing tabs together. Normally, I have 3 hours to put it together throughout the show. We have 2 hours today, so I have to go and make sure I have everything ready. That's all.
I'm not trying to call you out, and I'm not saying you have a phone addiction, but when you were doing your futures, which was a great segment, the D block, if you want to go back and watch it, I thought Dawson killed it. While you're talking, you're looking down at text messages coming in. Can you focus?
I don't get text messages. No one texts me.
So Caleb Williams is going to make a start. By the way, he's a captain for the Chicago Bears this year. And here comes your boy Will Levis and the Tennessee Titans. So you can still, FanDuel is showing 4.5 if you want the Titans. And the big guy does like the Titans here, 44.5 on the total. So what does it mean as far as Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, making his first start? Since the merger, there have been 27 quarterbacks taken as the number one overall pick in the draft. In their first NFL start, they are a combined. Now, this is wild, people. They are a combined 4-22-1 straight up. So just a 15% win percentage there. And they are an ice cold 7-20 ATS, just 35%. Caleb Williams and the Bears, you can find over at FanDuel, laying 4.5. Ergo, you're going to go Titans.
Yeah, I just think there's something there with Tennessee. One, I think the defense, especially the secondary, got a lot better in the offseason and not enough is being made of it. Obviously, some wild cards with this offense, with Will Levis, with Brian Callahan coming in. But I do think they're going to be able to hang with Chicago here in the opener. Caleb Williams still a rookie. I think there's going to be a bit of a restrictor plate on what they let him do right out of the gates. I think the Caleb Williams we see week one will be very different from the guy that's allowed to operate in the offense week 10, let's say. But out of the gates, I like the dog. I like Tennessee. Their quarterback's back. Most of the team's back, and the defense is better. I'll take those points in this game.
Yeah, if I'm leaning one way, you mentioned the additions, including Snead. They have two elite cornerbacks now, which was an issue for the Titans last year, was the secondary. So I totally agree with you there. Obviously, Derrick Henry is in Baltimore. I like the Tony Pollard angle with rejuvenation with the Titans, Calvin Ridley. I think the offense is going to be better. We do have Callahan, the new head coach there with the Titans. Not to bore you, but I will be betting unders in week one, and I like the under here with the Titans at the Bears. You can find a 45, and I'll take that 45 and go under in Chicago to start the year.
Oh, by the way, if you're not just identifying unders in week one of the NFL season, I don't know what you're doing. I'll probably be betting only unders, no overs, through like 3 or 4 weeks this season.
But I would agree with you if I'm taking a side here. I'm taking the 4.5.
Yeah, I'm not against the under here. I think despite Caleb Williams having more than any other rookie quarterbacks ever had to start out of the gate, it's still a different world. The plays that were there for him at USC will not exist right away at the NFL level.
And he is taking on one of the best secondaries in football, in the Titans.
Yeah.
So he's got a good early test for Caleb Williams. And what we've talked about all year and why I feel like Chicago might be a little overvalued is that offensive front is young and often injured and there's questions. But that's where the Caleb part comes in because he's virtuoso as far as getting out of trouble.
And to your point on the bet, unders in week one of the NFL season the last 2 years are 23-9. In the last 10 years, underdogs, by the way, in week one have gone 90-67-3. That's 57% against the spread.
Let's go. Nice stats, big guy. Callahan brought. Now, the reason I think the Pollard angle is interesting and why the Titans is, remember, Bill Callahan, you know, outside of the dude that retired from the Patriots and then came back and retired like 10 times with Bill Belichick.
Dean
Pease? I can't remember his name.
Dean Pease?
No, not Pease.
Oh, the other guy.
Offensive line coach. You know his name.
Yeah. I got it.
Anyway. Callahan is right up there as one of the all-time great offensive line coaches, and
Dante.
His son,
Dante Scarnecchia.
Scarnecchia. His son, who's now coaching the Titans, remember the OC there with the Bengals, his son brought his dad in to coach the offensive front. So that leads me to believe they're going to run the football and then take shots off the play action with a very good deep thrower in Will Levis. And I believe we do have Callahan here.
Yeah, this is the new head coach of the Titans talking about all the unknowns that go into trying to prepare for a rookie quarterback who you've obviously never seen before.
You know, you try to watch him play NFL football as best you can. Obviously, he played just a little bit in the preseason. You know, I don't know that Hard Knocks give you a whole lot. I know that's out there. But I just think you have to go off of what type of player he is, the caliber of quarterback he's been over his career. And you saw glimpses of it in the preseason. I mean, he can make off-schedule plays. He can stand in there and deliver balls. I mean, he's everything at a number one pick. You would expect to be. And so you have to treat him as such and treat him with that kind of respect. Obviously, you have to earn that in this league. He's got to do it in regular season games. I just hope it isn't in the first week.
Brian Callahan, new head coach with the Titans, talking about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is going to be special, people. He's going to do some things that are going to boggle. They're going to flabbergast. You're going to be befuddled. And then he's going to do some things. He's going to turn the football over as well. Interesting. I do like the under 45. How old is Brian Callahan? Go ahead.
Oh, he's probably around my. I think he's younger than me. I'm 39. Not a man yet.
It doesn't have anything to do with.
He's a year old. Well, it's called a stall tactic because you asked me a question I don't know the answer to.
Yeah, but you could just take a guess. You don't have to Google it. That's the point.
You asked me a question. You didn't say how old do you think he is. You said how old is he, as if I knew the answer. The answer
is 40. At least you're not nitpicking.
The answer is 40.
He just turned 40 June 10th. Here's how you know you're getting old, when literally all the coaches are younger than you.
That's you, not me. He's older than me by a year.
It's like emotionally unstable? Check. Inability to stay in a relationship? Check. Older than most of the NFL coaches? Check.
Well, searching for a job? Check.
And then the first marker of that when you start to feel is when you realize you couldn't be a running back in the NFL anymore. I mean, obviously, there was a lot working against me, but once I hit 30, 31, I realized, well, couldn't be a running back in this league.
You had a pretty sinking suspicion early on that you weren't going to be an NFL running back.
It confirmed it.
Okay, detective.
The last piece I had, I was under 30. Once I went over 30, there was no coming back.
Right. All right. Mrs. Cleo over there with the crystal ball. Okay. Yeah, I had a pretty good idea because the standard or the example I compared myself to was a guy named Barry Sanders. Presumptively, I wasn't going to be that. So I ended up being whatever this is. A dude with long hair just trying to get by. Yeah, Brian Callahan and his dad now with the Titans. I told you I saw the Titans video where they were telling some of the guys they made the team. Uh-huh. I almost get creepers when I watch those videos. Almost a teardrop.
No, I legit cry. I'm sorry. You watch their dream happen in front of them. It's incredible.
You've been crying for a lot of reasons.
I cry a lot.
Hey, time to turn the frown upside down. You know who's next? Mike Somich. Oh. Sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
To make it feel better, Dustin Sweetelson, as Larry, our engineer, was counting us in. He was chuckling because he thought what you said was funny. That should make this segment very productive as we welcome you back. Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Of course, VSIN 3.0 as we head into the new NFL season. The lineup is freaking awesome. Surprises to come. Told you I was texting with our newest addition and Adam Schein. He hit me with 10 exclamation points to enforce his excitement. You know, I was watching Money Moves a little earlier today with Stormy, and I got to tell you, Somich filled in yesterday. He was on Money Moves today, and I believe he's on tomorrow, and he was killing it. And with that, he's triple dipping as we welcome him on a Wednesday program. And in particular, I want to just give you props as you were going through some of the betting verbiage and some of the terms, which I like the idea for new bettors to kind of understand and conceptualize what some of these names or terms that are intimidating might mean. And nobody was more perfect to have on when talking about chalk today as it ties back to horse racing. So I enjoyed that, Samo.
Yeah, I think it's a fun little segment that they're doing over on Money Moves, and I'm excited that I was there the day they referenced chalk. For those who don't know, chalk is a horse racing term. That's where it came from back in the day when there weren't electronic boards, and they had to actually use chalkboards at racetracks. The favorite would get bet so much that they'd have to erase that number and rewrite the new odds, erase it, rewrite the new odds, that it became that the favorite was being called the chalk because of how many times they had to rewrite it. And so that's where it originated. Now, sports betting, it's really anytime you're laying a big number, anytime you're on a favorite. But fun segment, and happy that I was the one that was able to be on that specific segment because it's fitting.
Nah, you killed it. And of course, Mike Somich, one of the best horse racing handicappers, along with his other duties, that lives. Now, they used to do that as well in old school Vegas. You know, the odds would just be erased and chalked up as well. But horse racing goes back way past that. You know, I was just thinking about that while you said it, because Dustin, you can jump in here. And Somich spends a lot of time, like Aaron Halterman and the racing dudes, at the track. I want those that pay attention to VSiN that may not be into horse racing. You don't have to be into horse racing to go to the track and just experience Americana. Like, Dustin, if you remember the first time that we did the Breeders' Cup, we went to Santa Anita, and I remember you just walking around completely blown away by just the ambiance, the overall vibes. It's almost like going to the track, regardless of a bougie track or an old school track, it's almost like you're stepping back in the time, and it's just a great experience.
Well, I thought Santa Anita specifically, the thing that I liked the most was that it was very casual, but it also felt like a throwback. It wasn't like uppity. It wasn't pretentious. Like, it felt like any walk of life was going to be welcome there, but it also had a great feel, a great look. I legit used to just think about, you know what, nothing going on a Saturday. I don't even understand how to bet the horses, although I do now because I just have a system that I stand by, which is if Mike bets it at Saratoga, I bet it at Gulfstream and it wins. But I thought many times about just spending a whole Saturday at Santa Anita just drinking all day watching the horses run.
Yeah, we had such a good time. And Somich, you spent a lot of time at the track. You would agree, right? It's just it's a wonderful vibe.
It's a blast, man. I can't be friends with anyone who can't have fun at the racetrack. It's one of the easiest places to have fun. It's cheap to get in, costs a couple bucks. You can usually get a couple drinks for decent prices. If you want to bet $2, $10, $20, $200, you can have a good time with it. You just don't need a lot of money, and it's something you can do outdoors. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's sure. Nice when you can have these activities where it's not very expensive, and you can go outdoors and just have a good time. And so I love going to the racetrack, love taking new people to the racetrack, too, because it's interesting what they gravitate toward when you get there.
Some people golf to get outdoors. We go to the track. And to Dustin's point of just going to Santa Anita, I used to go drive up to Santa Anita when they weren't racing there, just a satellite bet. So I'd just be hanging around with the other degenerates, betting on other tracks that were racing across the United States. Let's go. I wanted to have a little fun to start with Samo. He's got some baseball plays coming up. Dustin, get your futures ready. I want to run some of them by Samo. And I want to go through my top five season win totals with you, Mike. And some of these aren't popular, but you know how I do. I'm going to start with number five on my list, and you just critique it. I got Washington over 6.5. Does that surprise you? Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, the combination moving on from potentially the worst coaching staff that we saw as a lame duck, and Ron Rivera might be the worst, even if he wasn't a lame duck, to be fair. They added a lot of pieces on defense. Brian Robinson Jr. is off that getting shot and looked spry in the preseason. I like the over 6.5. I laid a little juice. You know you love the Commanders, Samo.
I did not bet the Commanders over or under. I think this is one that's pretty fairly lined. When I looked at their bell curve and worked through it, they're a team that could win anywhere from 5 to 7 games in my mind. So that 6.5 falls right in there. Maybe if Jaden Daniels has a huge season, they get to 8 or 9, but not a team I think has enough upside to bet the over with that much juice.
Mike, he was trying to trap you. You understand what he was doing. He was trying to get you to co-sign his Commanders because we have a bet on teams with equal win totals about who's going to do better this year. He wanted to trap you into being like, I love that play, and then he could say, better than your Raiders pick.
I'm very aware of what Patrick tries to do. I just choose to not play into that. And so I'll just give him the actual analysis on the team and where it sits. I mean, if he had the Raiders on here, I'd love it on the over 6.5 number. But unfortunately, he doesn't like money.
Well, you'll have to wait and see. And I didn't hear anything you two just said. I've got two alts. So New England is 4.5. I don't know how they win a game. I'm just saying it. I'll put myself out there. I literally don't. So I alted them down to 3.5. to go under plus 225. And then I alted Dustin's Carolina Panthers to 4.5. Their true number is 5.5. I alted Carolina 4.5 plus 180, Mike.
I will 100% co-sign on the New England Patriots. I agree with you. 3.5 seems like a tall task for them, especially considering who else is in their division and that ridiculous schedule they have. How they are a fourth place team who is absolutely atrocious, but also have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL. Crazy to me. That offensive line looks like five turnstiles. We saw Brissett get absolutely crushed in the final preseason game. I'm not sure how long Brissett lasts in there, and then we'll see what happens when Drake May gets in the game. The Panthers one, I've gone back and forth on this team. Again, I think they're fairly numbered here. I think that you could see an uptick from the offensive side. I like the addition of Deontay Johnson. Don't love him personally, but look, he is more skilled than any wide receivers that they have in there. And I think Canales could do some interesting things on the offensive side. To me, that division stinks. Like, I'm down on the Bucs, I'm down on the Saints, and that means that the Panthers have a chance to win games. That's my biggest scare there.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't love the Carolina one. The Lions, I think everybody's going to agree. 12 wins last year. They got better. They play three outdoor games in the elements. I got them over 10.5. And then my number one, Samo, is San Francisco under 11.5. Super Bowl hangover. The schedule is absolutely brutal. Tough division that's getting better. And it comes down one thing. We can't bet on injuries. They will be injured. I'm going under 11.5 with the San Francisco 49ers.
100% agree with you on the under with San Francisco there. I don't think they win the division this year. I think the NFC West is going to be the toughest division. I think it gets three playoff teams. I think Seattle ends up winning that NFC West, like the under there on San Francisco. Any injuries to that offensive line, and they are in a world of trouble. There is no depth there at all. And Purdy without time is a problem. You go back, look when Trent Williams was hurt for three games last year. They went 0-3 in those three games. They are not built to sustain injuries specifically on that offensive line.
Great breakdown. And the big guy was smiling because he's in on the Seahawks this year. Go ahead, big guy.
I'm trying to figure out what their ceiling is because I think they could be really sneaky good, like high-end good. Obviously, the defense is going to get better, but they also have a ton of really great pieces that probably the best cornerback duo in football. I mean, they are loaded. And then you have arguably, we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago, arguably the best trio of wide receivers to choose from. I think Kenneth Walker is in for a monster season as a bell cow. Everything about the Seahawks is trending upward. Now you have a coach that's going to win games on the margins. I don't know what their upside is, but I think they're a team that can win a playoff game this year.
Go ahead, please, Mike.
Don't sleep on Grubb coming in as offensive coordinator either. Yep. He's coming in from University of Washington. This was a slow-paced, conservative offense. It's going to be the opposite this year. Geno Smith can throw the football downfield, and you got three big-time weapons. If they play with pace and they stretch the field, this offense could be very good as well. And I agree with you. Mike McDonald's going to fix the defense in year one. May take a couple weeks, but by the end of the season, they are going to be good.
Plus 650 to win that division. That is juicy.
This year's Texans. I'm starting to really buy into what you guys are saying about the Seahawks. Dustin, you want to throw just a couple of yours at Mike, and then we'll come back and talk a little baseball?
Yeah, Mike, I couldn't go 10-1 on the Lions to win the Super Bowl. I love it, but it's just a little bit shorter than I like to get down on. So I went Goff MVP, and I know it's a bet you've been talking about for months, but I found 25-1, and at this point, finding 25-1 did still feel like value on Goff. What do you think about that number?
I don't mind the number at all. I bet it the first time at 20-1 at the beginning of the offseason because I thought it would go down from there. It went up to 44-1, peaked at 66-1 at Circa, and got hammered all the way down to like 14-18-1 at one point, floating back up now. Look, the schedule is so beneficial here for Detroit, specifically the early schedule. If you can get Goff in at 25-1 now, and he's 7-1, 6-1 when we get to week 7 or 8, you can come back with Mahomes and get him at 7 or 8-1 because they have a tough schedule and then a very easy one to close, and all of a sudden you have the two most likely guys to win it at decent prices.
Yep. Good. 60-1 it had
That's
jumped up to.
Crazy.
66-1 at Circa.
Number. That's a lot of fun. When we come back, we'll briefly touch on tomorrow night's opener, Kansas City hosting Baltimore, and get into a couple plays on tonight's slate as well. Mike Somich joined Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. Mike Somich, of course, he's going to be on Money Moves with Stormy tomorrow. Make sure you join. And then, of course, every Saturday and Sunday on the handle. Let's see. That would be 9 to noon my time. So noon to 3 on the East.
No.
Okay. Help me out then, big guy.
We're all new.
It's in the rundown. Ready, set, bet. Weekends 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Well, why didn't I get the memo? It's in the rundown.
That's only sort of true. It's 8 to 11 on Sunday. Uh-oh. It's 7 to 10 on Saturday. And the last hour on Saturday is also the contest show. So we'll reveal all the Survivor picks as well as the picks against the spread in the millions contest there on the Survivor show on Saturday as well.
That's my B. My bad, fellas. And I appreciate you guys
correcting.
Well,
it's part my bad, too, because I didn't know Saturday was a different time.
By the way, did you guys see, I guess Circa went over. So they've now passed in Circa Survivor the $11 million mark. So that's kind of a nut. Total Survivor prize now is 11 plus million. I guess they're struggling. Like, you can still get involved with Circa Millions. So they've got an overlay of like a little over 1.3, Mike.
Yeah, I think we're going to get over 12.5 million in Survivor when it's all said and done. I think we're still going to see quite a few entries come in there. I bet we get very close, maybe a slight overlay in the millions. I think we're going to get a lot of entries this weekend as it comes close to it. But I do think Survivor is going to be, I mean, 12.5 million would be crazy. That would be a 30% over last year's total. Massive, massive pool. Just even more reasons to get involved in Survivor side.
Do you get a cut of that as the voice of Survivor in the documentary? Do you get a cut of that?
Oh, of course. I mean, of course I do, Dustin. Come on.
I would say with the contest, too, it's kind of like betting the NFL. A preponderance, most of the money is coming in right before kickoff. And so most of the money is coming in right before.
Oh, yeah. I would just say, if you're thinking of coming to town and signing up on Sunday morning, I would suggest you do something better than that and sign up way earlier.
We've got games on Thursday and Friday. You can still sign up for both contests on Saturday. So if you do want to come to town on Saturday, you can still come in and sign up for both of those, even though the week's action has already started.
And as a special offer, Dustin Sweetelson is offering to be any VSiN Pro's proxy.
Well, yeah, I need to fill my time in the fall.
Yeah, there's no guarantee the picks will go in on time.
Or at all.
Touche. Hey, listen to this. He forgot to put one of Halterman's picks in yesterday. Now, it happened to miss, so he's like, I meant to do that.
No, I was watching the game. He had Cubs minus 1.5. Cubs are winning in like the 7th inning. I'm like, oh no, I'm going to have to apologize. I'm going to have to talk. It's more I have to tell Patrick, and he's going to shame me for it and explain how big of a deal it is that I screwed it up. And then they end up losing, and he loses the bet. I was like, thank God, no harm, no foul. We're good.
All right.
You think he learned his lesson by now?
Yeah, you would have thought so.
Yeah,
you would think a lot about the big guy, though, if we're being fair.
You guys are failing to calculate the fact that I haven't gotten smarter. Has nothing to do with like me doing things. That's me being a dumb person.
Yeah. Good point, Dustin. So anyway, the steam that you guys are sorry, Dustin. The Vegas steam may be coming from one person in particular, and he is Mike Somich. So again, with the Minshew announcement, we did touch 4, and then mostly we're sitting 3.5 with the Chargers laying it, hosting the Raiders. Now it's just blanketed. It's the Chargers 3. So money coming in here on the Raiders, Mike.
Yeah, people finally understanding how good of a football team this Las Vegas Raiders team is. Look, this is a good spot for this Raiders team. They've got more playmakers on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. The Chargers are going to try and run the football. You've got a very good linebacking crew for the Raiders here. I think they're going to be able to stop the run. The addition of Wilkins on the inside, also a positive for this Raiders run defense. Well, I realize that Herbert, better than Minshew, the playmakers on the outside, big-time advantage here to the Raiders. Really interested in what we're going to see from a tight end set as well. Love the addition of Bowers in the draft to put on the other side of Michael Mayer, who came in last year from Notre Dame. I'm excited to see what this looks like. And man, is this an important game for me as a Chargers under season total win total person and a Raiders over season total win person and someone who has also bet the Raiders on the money line and the point spread. All of a sudden, this is a 4-unit game in a lot of ways for me in week 1 of the NFL without ever seeing either of these teams play a snap. Gotta love week 1 when two of the teams that you are high and low on and against the market play each other.
Yeah, you got a lot going on in this one. I was also the Chargers. Remember, Dustin, that almost made my top 5 over under list. I like the under on the Chargers this year as well. Let's do quickly. Let's jump to the college ranks just quickly, because I know you've got a total that you're focused on, and that's Colorado at Nebraska. So I believe we open closer to 57. So I don't know where you hit this 56.5, and it has been bet up to 59 with Colorado and Nebraska, Mike.
It's up 59. It was 57.5 this morning. I like the over. I played the over at 57.5. I don't think people fully understand this is not last year's Nebraska's team. Dylan Raiola, a true freshman who came in, he can sling it. He can put points up. In Colorado, they don't mind putting some points up and getting in a shootout every now and then. To me, this is the difference here is Nebraska's being undervalued on the offensive side. I made this total closer to 63. So when it opened, the first number I saw was 57.5. I saw it tick down to 57. I bet it when I could get into it at 57.5. I love the over in this spot. I think they are going over 60 pretty easily. Dylan Raiola, he's going to be it's going to be a coming out party on Saturday for the freshman Nebraska quarterback. People are going to be impressed with what he can do with the football.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Dustin, you were pumping your fist.
Yeah, I bet this on Monday or Sunday night. Same number as Mike, over 57.5. Colorado's playing no defense. They don't care because they have a quarterback and go shot for shot with them. So they're going to go to Nebraska. They're going to play no defense. The Cornhuskers are going to move the ball up and down the field. That was the difference a year ago. They brought in a bunch of receivers now. They have a quarterback. There's going to be offense here. Not a lot of stops. I love this over.
Just so you guys know, for your edification, Raiola's dad, Dominic Raiola, I went to a house party once in Royal Oak, Michigan. I was at the same house party, and we were drinking beers together. Thoughts?
Like, how many more beers did he drink than you that night?
I mean, dude, he's massive. He is. He wasn't affected. Let's just put it that way. He's a center.
If he was laying 7.5, did you cover?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
He was literally, like, one of the bigger dudes. I was very intimidated, if I'm being honest. Okay, Dustin, you got anything on the way out as far as picks? I know Samich has got a bunch of baseball here as well.
Yeah, let's. I added the under in Michigan and Texas. I believe it was 43.5. Yeah, I think Michigan's defense is awesome, and I think they're going to struggle offensively. But I have a lot of questions about the Texas offense on the road in the Big House, where Michigan hasn't lost in like 23 games, I believe the win streak is. I just think that defense is going to limit what they want to do through the air. They're also depleted at running back or the Longhorns. Because of that, I think it's going to be a slower paced game. Texas will end up winning. I don't know if they cover, but the scoring may come later. It'll take a while, so I went under.
Yeah, I like the under there too, Mike. 43. What do you got?
I played Texas -6 on Sunday live on the handle when the line originally came out. I'm probably going to play Michigan +7.5 here and try and create a middle, because I don't love the Texas side, because I agree with Dustin. I think Michigan's defense very good. Texas offense, well, they blew out their week one opponent. It wasn't exactly the prettiest thing I had ever seen. So I'm probably going to try and middle that game. I agree with the under. I think the under is the right side there, sitting at 43.5.
Got a great number. Come back the other way, +7.5 with Michigan. Try to double down, try to double up. Hey, didn't I just get in trouble for calling it the handle?
Well, he did the handle last week, but now the show is called something else this week.
Okay.
True story. Just cleared. We got a new lineup, Patrick. Come on.
I was told. Let's close tabs for the last time here. Big guy, what do you got for him?
I actually believe we are the pregame show to that show on Sunday. Chalk. Awesome. You're talking about Chalk. Rock Talk Jayhawk. Is that what you're talking about? Patrick. You said, yeah. As the kids say mid, you literally say mid all the time, Donk.
I'm literally the most immature 46-year-old that's ever walked the planet. I was talking about myself.
Let's see. Applebaum wearing paper bags at Gillette. My ex used to make me do the same thing in her apartment. Let's see. You asked the question, Iceland. Is Iceland warm, I believe you said. It ranges between 2 degrees Celsius and 20 degrees Celsius, which 20 degrees Celsius is 68, so it is indeed very cold.
Did no one watch Mighty Ducks 2?
First of all, they don't even play hockey in Iceland. It's a big lie, and I'm not going to listen to what the enemy says with the eating ice cream stuff.
I didn't watch Mighty
Iceland
Ducks 1.
Nice.
I wasn't going to just jump to 2, okay?
Oh. Man, you got the classic movies, Patrick. Got to get into both of them. Just ignore Mighty Ducks 3. That never happened.
As soon as I get to Lord of the Rings, I'll get to Mighty Ducks. Yeah.
The hockey anything was very realistic when they opened with Trinidad and Tobago's national hockey team. And
all right, you're caught on it. Okay. Last one, don't be mean to Mike.
Mike, you called the Raiders and Chargers a 4-unit game. That's the max amount of units I'll watch in a contest.
So, it's not ending well. It's just not. Listen.
On brand.
Mike.
On brand.
I want to thank you. I know today's been a busy day. You got the family there as well. So thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Yeah, you got it. 4 more baseball plays over on VSiN.com if you want to check them out.
Yep. Best bets over at VSiN.com. Check out Samo and the big guy over there as well. Dustin, I got to say, a tremendous job by you today.
You too.
Thank you. Follow the Money is coming up next.